I'd use a little bit of time to tell who I am, who we are. But to start with that, if you want to turn there, you can. A lot of you probably know it already. Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Anyone know what verse 7 says? Do you have that? Anyone know it off the top of your head without looking? Yes, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. A lot of people leave off verse number seven, but it's a foundational verse. It goes right along. It's in the exact same. It's in the same context. But this is a verse you'll find on pretty much all of the material that we put out. So on our prayer card, it's on our prayer letters, it's on our website. It's trust in the Lord. So I grew up in a Christian family. I was in church since before I was born. About 9 months or so before I was born, I started going to church. And grew up, I knew the gospel. I knew the gospel. My parents taught, we had family devotions every night. I knew the gospel. Our Sunday school teachers, they taught it. And I'm 100% for young kids knowing the gospel. My boys, if you ask James, he could probably tell you the gospel. He's not saved yet, but he knows it. He knows it. Anyways, so that was me. And then one day, I was about five, six years old. My sister, she was about 11 months older than me. We did everything together. And she went forward one day, and she made a profession of faith and trusted Christ. And then she was allowed to start having the Lord's Supper when it came around. And I was not. Jealousy is one of my biggest problems, I'll just say that. So I was like, why can she do this and I can't? It's not fair. So we talked over for a little bit with my parents and said, why can I not do this? And they told me, she's trusted Christ her Savior, you haven't. Well, I said, okay, I can fix that. So guess what I did? I knew the gospel, I knew what to say. They asked me the questions, I knew the answers, and I had it all figured out. And next thing you know, a few weeks later, I got baptized, and I was able to have the Lord's Supper. Mission accomplished, right? Mission accomplished. Is jealousy a way to get saved? You don't get saved out of pride and jealousy. You can't get saved through sin. Just like you're not supposed to invite people to church, so you have a big dance party just to get people into church. No, you don't use sin to share the gospel. That's not the way it's supposed to work. That's not the way God never. You see Christ, you see Paul. That's not how they did it. So let's try to follow their examples. Anyways, a few years went by. I was 11 years old. Went to camp, Camp Assurance, and at camp, the preacher was talking, and he was really hammering down. It was my worst week of camp ever, by the way. I love going to camp, but this was the worst week ever. And because the preacher was preaching at me every single time, all of the lessons were talking straight at me. Then about on Thursday, I'd about had it. But then the preacher, of course, preached even harder on Thursday. It was terrible. And he's talking about using the out of Numbers where God opened the ground to swallow a lot of the children of Israel who had been sinners. And I don't know exactly how he framed everything that he said. But I know he said, if the ground of this chapel opened up to swallow all the sinners, and everyone had a rope, would God be holding the other end of that rope for you? He says the only thing you had to do is ask him to do it. and trust that he'll do it. And I said, and I knew that if the ground opened up, I'd be going down. Because Christ was not holding the other end of that rope. I had been saved, or I had made a profession of faith. I had been baptized. Our family was one of the good families in the church. We were the good kids. The teachers liked it when we were in the class because we knew the answers. We were good. We were well behaved. But I knew if the ground opened up to swallow me into hell, I'd be going. So that was done. That evening, went back with my counselor to the mess hall. And I don't know if he did a good job trying to lead me to the Lord or not. I couldn't tell you. I don't even know what he said. But I know that day I trusted Christ, my Lord and Savior. So it was another 7 years before I got baptized. But on the way home, I told the youth leader. So youth leaders, especially, listen. This is my youth leader. I believe one made a huge mistake. I'm not going to judge him or anything, but I told him, I was like, I got saved on the way home from on the bus heading home. I told him, I got saved. And his answer, that's good. And he just went about what he was doing. I was excited. I want to tell the world that I just trusted Christ. And I was so excited about it, and he just put it like a needle in that balloon and popped it, and I didn't tell another single person for 7 years. So, and actually I completely changed, like I just was about, I want to say 12, 13, I'd surrendered to go into missions, surrendered to do things for the Lord, and I completely changed my path. I was going to be a Marine, by the way. So I was going to go join the Marines, be one of the proud, one of the few, one of the brave. That was going to be me. And I worked out, by the way. I was one of the fastest kids in our church. I was one of the stronger ones. Yeah, I'm not there anymore. But anyways, I went to the Marine recruiting station. And I actually beat the recruiter in a few things. I was ready. My mom insisted I go to 1 year Bible college in opening week. They were preaching. Once again, the preacher was preaching all at me. I don't know why they do that. But they said his main message was, it was different preachers throughout the week. Once again, back to Proverbs 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine understanding. In all the ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. The preachers throughout that week were preaching on do things God's way. Is do God's work, but do it God's way. Just because you're doing God's work doesn't mean you're doing it his way. And the Lord just brought back to my mind, you've not been baptized yet. You've surrendered to serve me, but you have not even done that. You're not serving me my way. Because I could join the Marines and be a soldier for the Lord in the Marines, right? People do it. It's needed. But if that's not God's way for me, that's not what I should be doing. So he got a hold of me there. So that week, I was going to go to Bible college for 1 year because my mom wanted me to. I was going to do that for 1 year. 7 years later, I graduated. Is that week, it completely changed me, turned me around. I said, Lord, I will trust you, and I'll do things your way. If you don't want me to join the Marines, well, don't let me. He didn't. Anyways, it was my third year there. No, my second year there, this amazing little lady, you saw a picture of her a little bit up there. She gets out of the car and walks up the steps to the main building. She's visiting the school, checking it out. And she was a missionary from Poland. She was a missionary kid from Poland. And she walked in And I said, that's the prettiest lady I've ever seen. I'm going to marry her one day. And I just knew she was the one for me. And the way to prove that would be if she came back to actually come to college next year. And she did. So she didn't like me, but that's another story. She thought I was an obnoxious American scum, basically, is what she thought. She did not like Americans at all at the time. The Lord changed both of us, and we got together. It all worked out. Anyways, but she had been a missionary in Poland. I had surrendered to missions, by the way, especially the first week. I said, Lord, I will be a missionary. I'll do whatever you want to be a missionary. And I started training. And when you're going to be a missionary, where are you planning to go? Anyone know? To the world. But normally it's to the jungles of Africa or jungles of South America, right? Because that's where missionaries go. Right. Everyone knows that. And so I'm going to go to the jungles. I'm ready to go. So I'm just doing my best to prepare to go to and be able to be self-sufficient and live in the jungle. And then Hannah shows up, and she's a missionary kid from Poland. Guess where I'm going to go? Where I'm going to Poland. The Lord's called me to Poland. I mean, it's obvious, right? So, and my sister, older sister, she had actually gone on a mission trip to Poland. That's the only reason Hannah would even talk to me. But the Lord works. It's funny how the Lord works all that out. So, anyways, but I'm trying to, once again, I'm trying to do everything my way. I'm not asking the Lord, where do you want me to go? I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to be a missionary. Obviously, you want me in Poland. Lord, I'll be a missionary. Obviously, it means I'll be in the jungles. Lord, I already know a lot of decent Spanish. I was a manager at Burger King for a while. Hey, you got to know Spanish. That was my kitchen. Yeah. So, ¿te hablas, Miguel? Yo solo poquito. Sorry, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm sorry. But I'm doing things trying to do things using my logic, my wisdom, trying to do things my way. But I'm trying, it's for the Lord, though. It's all for the Lord. Lord decided he needed to get a hold of me. By this time, my wife and I, at this time, we were engaged, and she did not like my truck. I know it's terrible. It was a 88 GMC Jimmy. I'd bought it in downtown Indianapolis, in the ghetto. Because it was cheap. I paid $300 for this thing. It was great, by the way. It was painted camouflage already. It only had a few problems. But I spent so much time with this thing. We were what? Every one of the college had signed my truck. Yes. It was great. I think what she didn't like about it most was every now and then there were fire coming out of the engine. But so I got rid of my truck. And I bought it because we were getting ready to get married and I'm trying to make her happy. She didn't like this thing. I mean, if it stopped running, it's all right. You just put your feet down to the road and go. Yes, you could see the road from the driver's seat looking down. So I got rid of the thing and got a brand new 2007. No, it was a 2003 Honda Accord. It only had 10,000 miles, it had 130,000 miles on it. The thing was brand new. Best thing. I never liked the car too much, but she did, so it was all good. So I only paid about $10,000 for it. So I had to get a car loan, and now I'm trying to pay. When I wanted to get married, you don't want to be in debt.
Right. That's good.
So I'm trying to get out of debt, and I end up working two jobs. I'm doing heating and air during the day, installing furnaces, air conditioners, and at night I'm working FedEx at the airport, unloading planes. And once again, though, I'm trying to do everything my way. For the Lord, for good, trying to do what's right, but doing it my way. So the Lord tries to get my attention. One day coming back from home, from heading home from work, and it's about 6 o'clock in the morning. Getting ready. I don't have to be at work till 8, so. So leaving work at 6 to be at work at 8. Yeah, it happens. Too tired to drive, so I decided I'm going to sleep in my car right now. I'm not going to drive. It's too dangerous. I'm too tired. So I get to my car, just lean the seat back and go to sleep. 3 weeks later, I wake up in the hospital. I had totaled my brand new car. Ran into the back of a semi. I basically took off in my sleep. Made it about halfway home and crashed in the back of a semi. They say I was probably going about 80 miles an hour, so I was sleeping, don't judge me. But the doctors had said, had told my family, actually just the day before I woke up, they told my family he's probably never going to wake up. If he does, he'll basically be a blob. He'll be paralyzed for the rest of his life. He won't be able to talk or walk. In the crash, I had a TBI, traumatic brain injury. They actually cut off half of my skull just to keep my brain from imploding on itself. They had to basically repair both my knees, and among some other things. They didn't think I was going to make it. The paramedics didn't think I'd get out of the car alive, let alone to the hospital alive. Then they actually talking to my family about taking me off of life support, just because I wasn't going to be worth it. So staring up at the hospital ceiling, I'm thinking, Lord, why would you let this happen to me? I don't know how long this fight was. It may have been 2 hours, may have been 20 minutes, I don't know. But I was fighting with the Lord, saying, Lord, you let this happen to me. Because I'm hearing what they're saying. I can't communicate with anybody. But I at least hearing what they're saying, and I know that they don't have any high hopes for me. And I'm saying, Lord, I've done this and this and this and this for you. I've ran bus routes. I've taught Sunday school. I've helped in the youth group. I've helped at the mission downtown. I'm a preacher. I'm surrendered to missions. I'm getting ready to get married. All this stuff that I've done for you, and you let this happen to me? Why? Anyone ever ask God that question? Why would you let this happen to me? And he brought this verse back to my mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. And trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. How much is all? How much is all? All thy ways acknowledge him. Another verse says, do all to the glory of God. By the way, that includes laying on a hospital bed staring up at the ceiling. That I think is part of all. Is that part of all? I think so. During that fight, it's the worst fight I've ever had with the Lord. I told him, because you let this happen to me, I am never going to serve you again. I'm never going to go to church again. I'm never going to even acknowledge that you exist ever again. I'm going to live a life of an atheist because you let this happen to me. But then he just kept saying, trust me. Trust me. Like I said, it may have been 20 minutes, it may have been 2 hours, I don't know. But at the end of it, I said, Lord, if you don't, I'm yours. Whatever happens to me, I'm yours. If you want me to be a blob for the rest of my life, I'll be a blob for you. I'm yours. Praise the Lord. About a week later, they sent me out of the hospital, sent me to the inpatient rehab. When I started to recover a little bit, they actually told me I'd be in the hospital for another probably 4 months, 4 to 6 months. But I was there a total of 4 weeks. And they told me I'd be in inpatient rehab for probably another 3 to 6 months. I was there 3 weeks. The only thing the doctors could say about my recovery was it made no sense to them. Physically speaking, it should not have happened. These are worldly doctors telling us this. And the worldly doctors said this has to be a miracle from God. That's the only reason they have. A few weeks after being in rehab, I went back to the hospital where I started. And the doctors there remembered me. And they had a chance to hear the gospel. The whole reason for my, I don't think the whole reason for the wreck was so they could hear the gospel, but that's definitely part of it. So, the Lord was not done with me yet. He still has something for me. Everyone here, if you are alive and standing today, or sitting right now, if you're alive, God's not done with us yet. That's why we're here. That is why we're here. And so since then, he's been continually directing us. I'll probably talk about it a little more this morning to show how the Lord's directing us to go to Hungary. Hungary was not our target. Hungary was not in our minds at all. But we knew the Lord wanted us in missions. Okay, I'll tell you. So we go to visit a missionary in Romania. And I talked about this in a little bit in the video. We flew in and out of Budapest, Hungary. And a lady there, she was breaking down in tears in the Pranger's church. I asked about it later, and they told me she's going to Miskolc. Miskolc's the third largest city in the country. It's actually up there close to the Ukraine border. No good church. It has a Baptist church, but it's not a Baptist church. I just end. It's one of those rock and roll Baptist churches. Would anyone here travel 2.5 hours to go to church? Growing up in Indiana, I didn't even think that there's a church 30 minutes down the road. And I passed 3 good churches to get to the 130 minutes down the road. Why would I travel 2 hours? So please pray for us that we can get there to help fix that. I can't fix it. But that doesn't mean the Lord can't use me. So please be praying for us.